Our scripture reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 16 as we continue our series through the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 16. And we're going to read from verse 15. It was just after the quails came down on the camp, and then the Israelites asked, "What is it?" So verse 15, when the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man as much as he should eat. You shall take an omer, a piece according to the number of persons which of you has in his tent. Each of you has in his tent." The sons of Israel did so, and some gathered much and some little. And when they measured it with an omer, he who had gathered much had not excess, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. Moses said to them, "Let no man leave any of it until morning." But they did not listen to Moses, and some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul, and Moses was angry with them. They gathered it morning by morning, every man as much as he should eat, but when the sun grew hot, it would melt. Now on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. When all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, then he said to them, "This is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath ordinance, a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over put aside to be kept until morning." So they put it aside until morning as Moses had ordered, and it did not become foul, nor was there any worm in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." It came about on the seventh day that some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you bread for 2 days on the sixth day. Remain every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. The house of Israel named it manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and its taste was like wafers with honey. And then Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer full of it be kept throughout your generations, that they may see the bread that I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer full of manna in it and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations." As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The sons of Israel ate the manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate the manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is a tenth of an ephah. So far, the reading of God's word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, remember Israel is on a journey. We said not a vacation. That's why they would pitch a tent and then on God's orders move further. They were on God's journey. And on this journey, God taught them spiritual things. Think about it. For centuries, they haven't had much teaching, if any at all. Through physical hardship, God was educating them. God was equipping them for a life that would glorify Him. And that is what God also does in your life and in mine. He uses whatever means to make us as his people holy. Do not for a minute think that traveling through a desert was an easy task. To live in a tent, breaking it up, moving on, pitching it again, it was not tents like you get these days. You just pull a rope and poof, everything pops up. And they were traveling on foot. They had sandals on. It was hot sand, not much water, no fans, no air conditioners. Well, they were walking in the sand itself. And I'm sure even that must have been very hard for young and old. But we see once again, amidst of these trials, how God has provided for his people. When they again, and they really did not have any reason, grumbled before the Lord, the God gave them food. Every day, two times a day, they received manna and quails. They just had to gather it. Each one as much as they could eat. And they had to do it early in the morning before the hot sun would come up and melt it. Yes, every day. His mercies are new every morning. And they were able to see that even in this miraculous provision for God that continued for 40 years until they went into the promised land. They received their food now, not anymore from the Pharaoh, but from the living God. And with this provision, God brought his saved people into a new routine, a new way of living, a new way of depending on God alone. But then we see that this was not the only change that God brought about in their lives. Remember, as slaves in Egypt, they ate, yes, but they really just worked as slaves. They lived as slaves. Or if I put it the other way around and emphasize one, they lived as slaves and they worked as slaves. They received no mercy from the Pharaoh. They were forced to hard labor with no rest. And now in this passage, God did not only provide them with food, God also blessed them with a command to rest, a day to rest. And it is called the Sabbath, and this term is actually used five times in this passage. And the purpose of this day is clearly stated in verse 30 when he says, the people rested on this day. I know how we so often think, even when we just hear the word Sabbath, we just make it off as, well, that belongs to a different time. But I want you to continue to listen to me, because in this passage we very clearly see that this day was very serious to God. He called it a Sabbath or observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. And it was also clear in the instructions about the manna that he provided to his people. Their food was available for 6 days, and we focused on that in depth last week, in this week. 6 days in the week, but not on the seventh day. Then the store was closed. And this is what they needed to do. First, they needed to go out each day to get food and gather enough for each day. Secondly, then on the sixth day, they had to gather enough for 2 days. And then they also had to eat everything each day. If they left it until the morning, it will breed worms. It became foul. Next, we also see that what is stored on the sixth day was per God's command. And that's why it was preserved. And then also, if they wanted to bake, and if they wanted to boil something, they had to do it on the sixth day, get it done with, do all their preparations, and leave it till the next day. So, God did not provide food on the seventh day. They were not to work or gather, but to rest on the Sabbath. Now you might ask, isn't it a little early for the institution of the Sabbath? The people have not arrived at Sinai yet, if you think about it. So God has not given them the commandment yet. Later, when God gave the law, we actually heard the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, in it you shall not do any work. And so it continues. We hear it every Sunday. For in 6 days he motivates it. The Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day, and therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So did you see that? When God gave it later in Sinai, he starts with, remember the Sabbath day. What does that say? That says that God has already, at that point of time, when they got to Sinai, they already knew about the Sabbath. God already instituted the Sabbath for them in the wilderness on their journey. Israel knew it already, and they abide by it. There were weeks, and there was one day of the week that they knew this is the day set aside by the Lord to keep it holy as an observance to rest. Now we will look at some of the objections or misconceptions regarding the fourth commandment in a while, but we must be careful today, as I just said, to say that this institution or this statute of God is not that important. The mere fact that God already gave it to the Old Testament church prior to the giving of the Ten Commandments shows us that it was crucially important. That this principle was something that God wants us to remember. Even though we'll later on see that the day has changed, the principle, the concept of resting is still very crucial in your understanding of this whole matter. And the importance of this statue is also emphasized by the fact, especially when the commandment was given, that it goes back all the way to the time when God created the heavens and the earth. There we saw that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. And he blessed it and made it holy. He set it aside for himself. Not just the little time here in worship service, the day. He set the day aside for himself. So what do we see from this? We see that God already at the creation of this world, that he instituted a specific rhythm. The rhythm of 6 days of work and one day of rest. Now, was God tired? No. God was not tired after he worked. God cannot become tired. But it was a day of rejoicing in himself for what he had created. That is why theologians say that this commandment is a creation ordinance. And that is how the fourth commandment in Exodus 20 also motivates our rest. Now, we will later see how, if you look at the repetition of the law in Deuteronomy chapter 5, that the rest principle or the concept of rest or the command to rest is not motivated by creation, but motivated by the fact that they were saved out of Egypt. So many arguments are offered against this ordinance. They would usually say, well, this ordinance applies only to the Israelite, not to the New Testament church, because Christ has fulfilled this commandment completely. And then they will be quick to refer to Colossians chapter 2, 16, 17, that says, therefore let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are the mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Now, did Jesus Christ come and fulfill this day? Absolutely, he did. He gave it the fullness of its meaning, if you want, because that is what it means when he fulfills something. And those who look at the statute of the Lord in a legalistic way, I want to say, do not make it easier with all their do's and don'ts, right? One of the commentators I read when referring to legalists, he said this: there is a real danger that instead of being blessed by the law of God, we will be tyrannized by the laws of men. And I will talk about this more when we study the Ten Commandments, and specifically then the Fourth Commandment later. Just this for now, we could so easily focus on all the things, you know, that we are not allowed to do on this day. But if we really do what God commands us to do on this day, there's not much time to do other things. And you will agree with me that our culture has changed over the years. I remember when I was a young boy, there was still a great respect for the Lord's Day. No shops were open. Towns were actually quiet and peaceful. Today, the mall and other shopping centers look just like any other business day, or perhaps even worse. And do we, as God's people, contribute to the craziness? That's something you and I need to answer to ourselves. Or do we honor this principle of rest that God has blessed us with? Just like today, the Israelites also struggled to keep this day, even though God said they were not to go out and look for food. What did some of them do? They still went out to look for food, right? Like today, there are always those, I think we can say, who look for more. Discontent and greed will always drive man to have more. That was why those Israelites went out, apart from the fact that they did not listen to God and that they did not trust God and trust God's word. You know, I always wonder what people do when they do not come to church on a Sunday. What do they do? What are they busy with? Or what are they busy with when they miss Bible studies, whether it's on a Sunday or a Wednesday? What could be more important than being fed by the Word of God, by living out our responsibilities as being a part of the body of Christ? Are you checking your stocks? Or are you watching your soapies? Or are you engaging in things that have value only for this life? Think then again. What is it that really matters in this life, right? If we look at God's reaction when Israel broke this statute, we see that very clearly in 16:28. He said, they were blessed by the Sabbath, and God gave it to them, but when they did not obey it, he was really angry, and he said, how long will you not listen to me? But if you look at 16 verse 28, we see that they were actually blessed by the Sabbath. God gave it to them as a blessing. And with that, God gave them enough on the sixth day that they could rest on the seventh day. So they had to trust God for the seventh day. You will remember how the disciples were accused of working when they picked grain on the Sabbath. You can go and read Mark chapter 2, around verse 27 again this afternoon. What did Jesus do when they were accused? He defended them. He told the Pharisees that the Sabbath was a gift to humanity, a day God has given to humanity, that they could step out of the world and take a day of rest. And we as the church really need to understand that better. God's people had to understand this better. Not only is this statute motivated by God's creation in the Ten Commandments, but as I said, as it is when it's repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5, this rest is also motivated by the fact that God delivered them out of Egypt. As redeemed people, God wanted them to rest and remember their redemption, the redemption that God has worked for them. Because before they were slaves in Egypt, under the Pharaoh, they were slaves to their work. But now they were saved. And God took care of them. And God wanted them to rest. So now the question is whether these gifts are still available to us as a church today. How applicable is this principle of rest still to us today? I think it is very much applicable. However, there are some changes. The day, for instance, has changed. In the Old Testament times, this day was celebrated on the seventh day of the week. In the New Testament time, that was celebrated on the first day of the week. You can go and read many passages, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, because on the third day, Jesus was still in the grave. But on the first day of the week, on the Sunday, he was risen. And since Jesus rose from the grave and appears to his disciples and many others, the early church started to gather and worship on the first day of the week. Why? Because they understood what Christ had accomplished for them. They understood that he accomplished their eternal rest for them. And since the time, the church did not call the day of rest the Sabbath, but the Lord's Day. Even an expression that you find in Revelation chapter 1:10. And remember, the Old Testament looked back at creation and the Exodus, but it also looked forward to the promised land of Canaan, which for the people of God was their land of rest. Did they expect a Savior? Yes, they did. And Christ fulfilled all their promises and expectations. But I also want you to remember that in Jesus Christ, we received eternal rest. In Him we look forward to our land of rest. And working for our salvation, laboring to win God's favor, is replaced by resting in Christ, who kept all God's laws, who died for all our sins, who rose from the grave. Our Sundays have become a celebration of our rest in Jesus Christ, an eternal rest based upon His victory over sin and Satan and death, an eternal rest that has already started for us in this life. You and I receive a foreshadowing of how it will be one day to be in God's presence and worship Him in eternity. Yes, we look back at creation. We also look back at Israel's exodus and deliverance. But because it's fulfilled in Christ, we look back at our own exodus, made possible by our Savior, who transformed us out of the darkness, the domain of darkness, into the light, and placed us under the leadership and the guidance and the reign of Jesus Christ Himself. And we look forward to our everlasting future rest. Yes, Sundays we celebrate His resurrection. That is the one feast that God has commanded us to celebrate week after week. Do you regard this day still as a gift? Or has it become a burden? A stumbling block in the way of your weekly routine, perhaps. Activities in your weekly routine, those who are reserved for this life alone, become so important that you have to continue that work on Sundays as well. If that is the case, you still don't appreciate Sunday for what God has proposed and intended it for. This is the day to focus on the things that has eternal value. This is the day to focus on your faith and your walk with God, to focus on His salvation and His love for you. Because we get so distracted right through the week. That is what God wants you to do. God wants you to remember your deliverance from Egypt. Israel was, in a sense, in a very special way, forced to remember all the things that I have summarized now for us. To remember their own deliverance, God told Moses, tell the people to take an omer of that manna and put it away before me. Later it was placed in the tabernacle and then in the temple. And because God ordained that, it never became foul. Why? Because it had to be a remembrance of God's salvation, of God's wonderful deliverance of His people. You and I forget our deliverance in a week's rush like this. But God has given us one day to say, focus. Refocus on what I have made you. And He has given us a whole day to focus on that. Our worship on Sundays bear that same witness to the world, that people will know that it is our memorial of what God has done to us in and through Jesus Christ. It is our testimony to the world that there is a God who saves. There is a God who provides for His children. We can trust Him. And how much did He not provide for us? He gave us the heavenly bread, His own beloved Son, Jesus Christ. He said, and I'm talking about Jesus, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which come down out of heaven and give life to the world. And then the disciples ask, of course, they ask, but Lord, give us of this bread. And what did He say? I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. My brother and sister, you have received this bread. You have found your rest, the rest for your souls in Him. Then you cannot continue to work for the pharaohs of this world who do not allow you to rest. Do not allow the world to distract you from your salvation. God has placed a day on your path so that you could rest in that, so that you could remember again who you are in Jesus Christ and ask God to help you to maintain the course for His name's sake. Use this day of rest once a week. Use it for His glory. Spend this day remembering and focusing on what He has done for you and trust Him. And God's people say, Amen. Father, as we come before You, we thank You for this principle of rest. That You have a long time already, when You created the heavens and the earth, gave to us as an example, because You know what we need. Oh Lord, thank You that we could look forward to our eternal rest. But Father, I pray also that our church would become more and more faithful to you as we set this day aside to rest in you completely. And that we would set aside all those things that distract us from you and use this day as you have ordained it to use for your glory and for our benefit as a wonderful blessing. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing hymn number 225. Come Christians, join to sing. Receive God's blessing and go from here in peace. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.